Welcome to Spoon Press Audio, the podcast for your daily story fix with your host, author, and award-winning entrepreneur, Anna M.
Hello, welcome back to Spoon Press Audio. My name is Anna M, and today I am going to be reading to you chapter 5 of my story, Don't Know Jack. Jack, we have to go. Charlotte pulls him on the sleeve and he seems to jolt out of his trance. He follows her through the waiting room doors and down the hallway. As they pass through the wide reception area, Charlotte can see the blonde, the woman she saw earlier at Blake's flat, now standing at the desk. Her heart nearly stops. The blonde looks very annoyed, arguing with the nurse and waving her arms about. But luckily, she doesn't notice them as Charlotte and Jack slip past and through the sliding doors into the street. Once outside on the pavement, Charlotte turns to Jack. He looks a little dazed, she realizes, staring at the takeaway coffee cup that's still in his hand. You okay, Jack?
Uh-huh.
Charlotte hesitates. I suppose we'd better... But her voice trails off as she looks over his shoulder and spots an elderly man heading towards them, looking flustered. Mr. Beducci? The man looks up and sees Charlotte. Relief washes over his face. Oh, you're... It's Charlotte, Mr. Beducci, remember? From upstairs? A flicker of memory crosses the old man's face. Then he glances uncertainly at Jack, who is still staring into the coffee cup. What's up with him? Charlotte wonders. This is Jack, Mr. Beducci, she says. He's a friend of mine.
And who did you say you were again, dearie?
Charlotte Harding. I live in your building. She studies his face. Mr. Beducci, are you lost? Tears well up in the old man's eyes.
I just wanted to take a little walk, and now I can't seem to find... Which way is the bus stop?
Charlotte gives him a warm smile. Do you want to walk with me back to the flat, Mr. Beducci? I was just on my way there.
The man smiles back. That would be lovely, yes.
Charlotte turns to Jack. Listen, Jack, I'm just going to... Yes. He murmurs, his eyes still on the bloody coffee cup. Bye then. And before Charlotte can stop him, Jack steps off the sidewalk and right in front of a double-decker bus that comes racing down the busy street. Charlotte jumps forward and grabs Jack by the arm, yanking him out of the way, just as the bus rushes past, sounding its horn loudly. Mr. Beducci presses his hands over his ears. Geez, Jack, what the hell? The coffee cup has been flung from Jack's hand and now lies in the middle of the street, leaking the last of the coffee onto the tar. How many accidents do you want to cause today? Charlotte scolds, pressing her hand over her chest to calm her beating heart.
Sorry, Jack shakes his head, but his expression remains dazed. This day is just, I'm sorry.
Charlotte hesitates. I'm taking you with me, she decides. She pushes Jack to where Mr. Beducci is standing, eyes wide, his hands still over his ears. Come on, you two. The flat's that way. I don't know about you, but I need a drink. Mr. Beducci's apartment is on the ground floor of Charlotte's building. Him and his wife were the first people she met when she moved in a year ago. Mrs. Beducci told Charlotte about the Alzheimer's about a month or two later, when they ran into each other in the laundry room. It's only been a couple of months since the diagnosis, she told her, but I can already see him getting worse. She confided in Charlotte how worried she was about her husband, how she couldn't imagine losing him, living her life alone. Turns out, Mrs. Beducci went first. A blood clot through the brain, someone told Charlotte. And now her fading husband lives alone in the ground floor flat
with his daughter, Melanie, checking in on him daily. The last time Charlotte ran into Melanie, she told her they were looking into a possible care home for her father. "There you go, Mr. Beducci," Charlotte says as she buzzes them into the building and holds the door for the two men to enter. "Oh, splendid," the elderly man smiles, and he fumbles in his pocket for his keys. "I just went for a quick walk, you know. Who knows where the time went?" "Do you want me to phone Melanie, Mr. Beducci?" Charlotte asks. "Who?" He looks up at her, confused. "Your daughter," Charlotte says. Mr. Beducci hesitates. "Yep," Charlotte says. "Let's phone Melanie." She turns and beckons to Jack. "Come on, Jack. It'll only take a second." Mr. Beducci opens the door to his flat and they all go inside. The place is filled in gloom and smells stuffy. Charlotte walks over to the window and opens the curtains to let in some light. Then she turns to the old man. "Why don't you sit down for a sec, Mr. Beducci?" she suggests. "You too, Jack. I'm going to phone Melanie and then I'll make us some tea." "Splendid," Mr. Beducci says, and he sits down on the couch. But Jack hesitates. "I need the bathroom," he says. "Fine," Charlotte sighs. "It's through there." She points, and while Jack disappears down the hallway, she takes out her phone and dials the number that Mr. Beducci's daughter had written on the fridge in bright blue marker. She explains the situation to Melanie while filling the kettle with water. Melanie is at work, but she sounds worried and tells Charlotte that she will come over right away. Charlotte promises to stay with her father until she arrives. When she ends the call, the water is boiled, and now Charlotte searches in the cupboard for cups. She stops when she hears Jack talking somewhere down the hall. She listens. "Are you in there?" she hears him ask. "Hello? Can you hear me? It's Jack. Where are you?" "Jack?" Charlotte calls down the hallway. "Everything okay there?" There is no answer, but then she hears the toilet flush. When Charlotte looks up, she meets Mr. Beducci's gaze. "There's something wrong with your friend, dearie," he says, tapping his forefinger against his own head. Charlotte sighs again. She pops tea bags into the cups and then fills them with water from the kettle. 5 minutes later, the three of them are sitting in the small lounge, sipping tea and waiting for Mr. Beducci's daughter to arrive. "What did you say was your name again, young man?" Mr. Beducci asks. Jack is peering into his tea. Jack, he says. "Jack Forrester." "Something wrong with your tea, Jack?" Charlotte asks. No. He takes a sip. Mr. Beducci is still watching him. "I know you," he says. "You're that writer." "Jack is just a friend, Mr. Beducci," Charlotte smiles. The elderly man nods. "You wrote that book," he tells Jack. Charlotte frowns. "You wrote a book?" Jack shakes his head. No, he must be mistaking me for someone else. He shoots a polite smile at the old man. "Not me, unfortunately." "You're Jack Forrester," Mr. Beducci says. "Yeah," Jack says, "but I'm not a writer. I mean, I didn't publish a book. Not yet, anyway. I want to. I mean, I'm writing one, but..." The old man interrupts. "We have your book. It's my wife's favorite. Maybe you can sign it for her. Can't wait to tell her when she comes home." "How's your tea, Mr. Beducci?" Charlotte asks, trying to change the subject. "Lovely, thank you, dearie. Splendid." He takes a sip and then puts the mug down on the coffee table. "Let me go and get that book." Charlotte watches as Mr. Beducci gets up and shuffles off to the bedroom. When they're alone, she turns to Jack. "What the hell is wrong with you?" she whispers. "Nothing." "Who were you talking to in the bathroom?" "No one." Jack glances down at his tea. Stop staring at your tea, Charlotte exclaims.
Jack sighs. Then he says, remember that woman, the one I saw in the pool and in the mirror? Well, when you were with the police back at the hospital, I saw her again. Well, not her, not that version of her anyway. It was the girl in the yellow raincoat this time. She was in the coffee. Charlotte stares at him.
In the coffee?
Yes. And she told me that I needed to get out of there as soon as possible.
Why?
She didn't say.
Ah, that's nice.
Jack looks up and meets Charlotte's gaze.
And then you came in and you said the exact same thing. You said we needed to go. You were in a hurry. You practically dragged me out of there. Why?
Charlotte hesitates.
It wasn't anything like that. I just saw someone I didn't want to run into, that's all.
She stops.
Wait, so that's why you've been staring into that cup all this time?
Jack shrugs. She's gone now.
Charlotte leans closer, amused.
Really? You're sure she's not in your tea, Jack?
She teases.
He casts her a look.
Ha ha.
Her grin widens.
Oh my goodness, is that who you were talking to in the toilet, Jack? Did you go look for her in the loo?
He opens his mouth, but is saved by the bell when Mr. Meducci returns, a book in his hand.
Here it is, he says, and hands it to Jack. Let me just get a pen, and then you can sign it for Edna. Oh, she would be so excited.
He turns again and shuffles into the kitchen. Jack looks down at the book in his hands. It's an old hardback with a faded dust jacket. On the front is a vintage illustration of a man and a woman being chased by a low-flying helicopter type of spaceship. The title, in green letters, says, The Turn of the Sky, by Jack Forrest.
Oh, now see, Jack says, this is Forrest, not Forrester. It's not me.
He turns the book over. On the back is a faded black and white photo of a man who looks to be in his 60s, the author.
See, he says, this is not me.
He hands the book to Charlotte.
The Turn of the Sky, she reads. Her brows lift when she sees the author's name. How weird that this guy has almost the same name.
Not that weird, Jack says. Neither of the names are uncommon.
No, I suppose not, but
she looks at him.
Weird that Mr. Beducci's wife's favorite book was by a guy named Jack Forrest, and that he has it here in the flat at the exact same time you show up, don't you think?
Jack shrugs.
Is it?
And, Charlotte adds, that he should remember the author's name when he can't even remember. She stops when Mr. Beducci enters the room again with a pen. He holds it out to Jack.
Here you go, he says. You should sign it there in the front. Make it out to Edna Beducci. That's B-E-D.
Mr. Beducci, Jack interrupts.
I'm sorry, but this isn't me. I didn't write this book. It's another guy, Jack Forrest. See? I am Forrester. I'm sorry.
Charlotte hands the book back to Mr. Beducci so he can see the name. The latter silently turns it over and studies the photo on the back cover. Then he looks at Jack.
See? Jack smiles. It's not me. That man is older.
Mr. Beducci looks at the photo again.
No, it's you, he insists. My wife loves your book, young man. It's her favorite. That's what she always says.
He shoves the book into Jack's hands and holds out a pen.
You have to sign it for her. It'll make her day.
There's a moment of silence, then Charlotte says, I'll just sign the bloody book, Jack.
But,
she shoots him a look that silences him.
Fine, he says. He takes the pen from the man's hand and then steadies the book on his one knee. He's just about to open it when his phone rings in his pocket.
Excuse me, he says and pulls it out. Susanna's name flashes on the screen.
What's wrong? Charlotte asks, watching him.
No, it's just...
He completely forgot about Susanna.
What time is it?
Were they supposed to meet for lunch? He can't remember. Jack stands. Sorry, I have to take this. With the book still in his hand, he steps past the others and slips down the hallway for privacy, before lifting the phone to his ear. Hello?
Jack, where are you? I'm worried sick.
Susanna, sorry, I
got a call from the police, she says. They said you were in the hospital, that you were in an accident. But when I went to the hospital, no one knew where you were. I've been phoning and phoning.
Jack glances at the screen. A notification pops up. 7 missed calls, all from Susanna.
Jack, where the hell are you? What is going on?
That was then chapter 5 of my story, Don't Know Jack. This is Anna M, and I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, and rate this podcast wherever you're listening so that we can push those numbers up. Also, if you want to send me your feedback, you can do so by sending an email to spoonpress_uk@gmail.com. I will be back soon with chapter 6. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
Welcome, all story lovers. Dive into the enchanting world of Spoon Press Audio, your go-to podcast for a daily dose of fiction. Whether you fancy brainy masterminds, gutsy heroes, or cheeky lovers, we've got stories to captivate you and sweep you away from the ordinary humdrum of your day. Created by the award-winning author and entrepreneur, Anna M., Spoon Press Audio is a perfect blend of laughter, intrigue, and suspense. But also, these stories are specially designed to boost your brain power and mental well-being. So be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us on an epic adventure only at Spoon Press Audio.